אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 469, מאמר הגלות והגאולה, טור א', דבר מתחיל ויש לבאר. ניתן לשאול שאלות באתר קבלה לעם, קאב.co.il, שאלות נבחרות, אנחנו נשאל במהלך השיעור. ספר כתבי בעל הסולם, עמוד 469, מאמר הגלות והגאולה.
הבורא ברא רצון לקבל. ורצון לקבל חייבים להביא אותו לתיקון. לפי דרגות הרצון לקבל, הוא מתחלק לכמה חלקים. אנחנו לומדים את זה מדלת בחינות דור ישר, שהרצון לקבל מתחלק לחמישה דרגות האביות. שהאור משפיע עליו, כך עד שהוא בונה בתוך רצון לקבל, הרצון הגדול, וכבר שממש מרגיש ממי הוא בא ולמה ומה המטרה שלו וכן הלאה. אז אור צריך לעבור דרך חמישה דרגות ברצון לקבל, עד שהוא מייצף רצון לקבל נכון, וכל דרגה שהוא מייצף רצון לקבל, למה היא, הדרגה הזאת מרגישה יותר את האור, יותר את הפעולה שלו, יותר את המטרה שלו, יותר מי מפעיל אותו, ומה הרצון של המפעיל. אז בתוך רצון לקבל נבראו כאלו הבחנות אחד אחד, יותר ויותר ויותר פנימיות עמוקות, עד שהרצון לקבל האחרון הוא מרגיש את המעציל, ואז בהתאם לזה יכול לפעול. זאת אומרת, ברצון לקבל יש הרבה הבחנות. אנחנו אומרים עליהם שהם דרגות האביות שברצון לקבל. האביות, הכוונה היא שיותר מבין את עצמו, מרגיש את עצמו, מבדיל את עצמו מהמשפיע, מהאור, ובהתאם לזה פועל, מגיף.
Feels itself better, discerns, acts accordingly, and operates. And this is the way of correction, that the will to receive decides that it is going to correct itself now, then it corrects itself, according to nature, from light to heavy, where all the previous levels that were already corrected, they help correcting coarser, harder levels, and this is how you do it. Now, this is actually one thing. Another thing is that when the will to receive reaches later on the building of the structure which later on has to be corrected, when it takes that form of the Malchut of Ein Sof, where through the influence of the light it takes on the inner structure, that the very same way that the light formulates the desire in the four phases of direct light, within the desire it formulates a system, that system which can make that desire become like the light, and for that desire to be able to become like the light, that system is called Adam HaRishon, or Adam. And so, inside that system, Adam, where there are different kinds of connections between the lights and the vessels and a program and everything that's there in order for the desire to be able to correctly realize itself. So, in that system, of course, there are many parts of the will to receive corresponding to the levels of view or proximity to the implementation. So we're talking about parts that already aspire for correction and parts that are present but do not yet yearn for correction. And in order to further mix the system, in order to further give the system the recognition of the difference for and against the emanator, therefore, this system undergoes a shattering. And in this shattering, two systems are included in it, which are in contradiction, in the struggle against each other. They're opposite to one another. They're in oppositeness, of course. They're in collision. They're in collision between them. It's on the one hand the qualities of the Creator, which is the will to receive, and is revealed to the full, and against that, the whole program of creation is revealed to bring the creature to the level of the Creator in order to bestow on these two systems. These are systems. They connect between them, and they create different kinds of connections, but not one in favor of the other, but one against the other. And when these two systems penetrate one another, we call that state the shattering, the breaking. The breaking, why? Compared to the corrected state where they were using each other in order to propel, to bring the creature to the degree, the level of the Creator and the equivalence of form. So we're in a state where these systems, they have already connected, collided, integrated, and now these two systems, they exist in a single structure that starts acknowledging a bit on the higher levels, on the easier, lighter levels, starts acknowledging what the situation is. And in this state, there are kilim, so lighter kilim, the lightest, meaning that with respect to spirituality, they have sparks which awaken, and there are those that are more hidden from this situation and are coarser. These lighter kelim, we call them Avot, the forefathers. They came out from Babylon and began their corrections, and later on, throughout years and years, until the destruction of the temple, and then individuals after them, and so on, and afterwards come newer souls, older souls. There's a lot to say about this, but however that is, we are in a very unique state where we are actually the very first generation of the last generation. And these sparks are revealed. Therefore, we have to be very awake with respect to the general correction of the will to receive, which actually the general broken soul which you have to correct. Its systems collide, meaning there is not a single correct connection, and you have to perform a correction over each and every detail, that only when the light comes you can see if it's okay or not. There's a plea to correct, and it corrects. And we ask for the force to use the vessel correctly, the mind, the heart, and we get it. Then the mind, the heart, and we operate it correctly, meaning there are many actions that you have to take before you correct the first particle and the second, and so on. But we have an additional problem, because we're very confused in terms of, on the one hand, we see the system, we study it, and it's the souls. On the other hand, we see people. That confuses us. What do we have to take into consideration, the people or the souls? So we have to understand that the world is an imaginary world, and we have to see what stands behind this imagination, that all these images are thin air, and we have to relate only to the spark itself. And even though that sometimes he talks corporeally, then we have to try and see the essence behind it, the quality. So please, let's take it from the top. So it says, harmony between religion and the law of development or blind fate. And among these nations shall thou have no repose. Which means that the vessels of bestowal, which were once different than the vessels of reception, fell into the vessels of reception, dwell in them in the state where they are under the rule of the will to receive. This rule is called exile. Now, what is the expression of this? If the vessels of bestowal have the intentions in order to bestow, and the vessels of reception is the desire to receive, so exile means that the vessels of reception use the intention in order to receive, in order to bestow, in order to receive. That's called exile, meaning exile is a non-simple thing that we really have to come to if we're truly talking about a spiritual discernment. It's that I know that I bestow onto the Creator in order to get from Him. So I am the klipa, and that means that I am in exile. This is something extremely spiritual and exalted, that I am in contact, that I am in a corrupted contact with the Creator. There are two forces, to receive and to bestow. To receive, it's me, and to bestow, it's I caught it, I hold it, and I use it in order to receive. This is the state I'm in. Why am I in this state? You're in exile. I don't feel myself in exile. I feel myself as the will to receive. I identify myself with it. Were I to identify myself with the will to bestow, then I'd say, I'm in exile and it controls me. Pharaoh, he rules me. The will to receive, it's controlling me. I want to bestow, but I want it, but suddenly I feel that I'm doing it in order to receive. That's called exile. That's why we can discern both in Egypt different eras, periods where they felt exile and didn't. And as Bala Sulam says, to the extent to which the children of Israel felt that they're in exile, they felt it. The exile, it burned them. You're like a scholar according to the pages. You have to be careful. Read where it is, not according to the page, but according to the article.
No.
It's in letter number 14. It says that to the extent to which the people of Israel thought that Egypt enslaves them and takes them from the work of the Creator, to that same extent, they were really in the Egyptian exile. Great, that's it. Meaning it is all with respect to the user, the receiver, the feeling party. It's a fact that he killed the Egyptian, Moses, he killed the Egyptian, and they wanted to rat on him. He's the one who, who's destroying all that they have. Ask the Jews that are in America, they'll tell you, you're in exile. We're in exile, you're in exile. Full redemption. So, you have to understand that all that is with respect to the receiving person. They're showing me Los Angeles. Moshe, you're a prototype, probably. Okay, so what I want to say is, look what's going on. That there was a shattering, and the vessels of bestowal fell into the vessels of reception, which is called Israel, Yisharkeh, the intention in order to bestow, and the vessels of reception, the intention in order to receive, these fell into those. It means nothing. That is the scrutiny. Inside that scrutiny, you can identify with the vessels of reception and with the vessels of bestowal. If I identify with the vessels of reception, I'm all blooming. It's like Pharaoh that's only built for, and Pitom and Ramses, beautiful cities for Pharaoh. And whoever wants bestow for him, it's cities of danger, of poverty, that maybe they will never be able to come out from under the rule of reception of Pharaoh. Meaning it's all relative, and therefore we have to understand, where are we? Whoever has a point in the heart, who already is aspiring for the correction, well, no one's aspiring for correction, but aspiring for the wisdom of Kabbalah, the revelation of the Creator, he actually has to see himself every time. What is bigger, the will to receive or the will to bestow? If it's the will to receive, then I'm Pharaoh's slave. If it's the will to bestow, I'm Israel in exile. Right? That's how it is with everyone. Is that clear? This is the first discernment that if you develop, you eventually come out of exile. What else did you find? Quickly. Rabash, on letter 1, he says, in order for us to reach a good, nice, and broad land, first of all, we have to undergo the phase of the making of the vessels, meaning to be in Egypt and see that they're slaves. Serving Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and the suffering from the exile gives them the need to pray to be delivered from exile. Nice. Very good. And then it says, and the people of Israel cried as a reason of the work, and it is found that, and the sigh was heard and answered, and the exile is that. Meaning, specifically because of this exile, that they're under this control, the Kli is being born. It's formulated, this new Kli with which you come out of the exile, where there are no new Kelim, the Kelim or the discernments. And these new discernments which we beget as a result of being engaged in Egypt. Where are the 400 years? The 4 discernments of the complete Kli. Where then you feel that very Kli becomes once again redemption. What does it mean, escaping Egypt? Who are we escaping? The will to receive? Oh, the will to bestow? No. Clear or not? Niv. Not clear. What does Pharaoh flip into after we come out of Egypt? There is a will to receive. Does it vanish? No. There's a will to bestow. Does it vanish? No. The discernments between them we call Bavel. What is Bavel and what is the Babylonian Tower? What kind of an attitude toward the will to bestow is called the Babel Tower? Who knows? Yes?
The will to use the Creator in order to reach the highest degree possible. The will to receive.
Good. On that same level of Aviut. What does it mean, Avram, who comes out of Babylon? The vessels of bestow that want to disconnect, that are capable of making a restriction over their will to receive, coming out of there and be separated from that. They did it. It's like later we say that Malchut itself cannot correct. First of all, you have to as if make the circumcision. You come out of Babylon, what then? How do you grow? You add them will to bestow, the will to receive. Who is the following will to receive to come? Yitzchak, left line, with Esav, which also have to separate from Esav. Also, there is a need to separate now from Esav. Cut it off. And this way, the will to receive comes every time. You scrutinize it. Let it be. for the future to come, when it will be possible to correct it. But in the meantime, you can't. In the meantime, we just joined the will to bestow those vessels that we can. So what is Pharaoh then? Comes a great will to receive. After we prepare ourselves, comes a big will to receive. But what? We feel that everything's good. What's good? Because we completed the degree of the will to bestow. It's the degree of Chagat Yaakov with the forefathers and everything else. Meaning from that point and on, has to keep growing. How do you keep growing in the current state? We feel that there is nothing to grow with. It's called that there is hunger. And you go down to Egypt. You feel that the addition of the will to receive still does not interfere with the will to bestow. The sons of Israel in Egypt ruled. Yes or no? In the beginning of the exile, that's how it's called. It's not an exile. If I'm in control, it's not exile. I go down into Egypt. I'm there as the one in control of Egypt altogether. My will to receive now. And that's it. So the 7 years of satiation. Meaning that I correct the clean. Why so? In order to connect to it. Later on, that kli, those 7 years of satiation, they become the 7 years of hunger. How come? Because the will to receive becomes ever greater, and in order to bestow, I can't do anything with it. It swallows me up more and more from receiving in order to bestow. Sorry, from bestow in order to receive, meaning that Pharaoh starts eating from them more and more, and they're incapable of doing anything. A person this way sees that simply this alligator swallows him up and nothing left of bestow. And Pharaoh, he's getting fat. Until out of complete darkness awakens in him the point in the heart, Moshe, and so on. And so we say about the will to receive that there are different discernments happening in it, that's its way. And then the stories happening, going on inside the will to receive. Same here. Exile and redemption. Only this way can we look at these things. Later, after Pharaoh, Mount Sinai. It's the same Pharaoh. Only this way. After that, come the different enemies. On the level of the still.
And
that which comes into your mind shall not be at all, in that you say we will be at the nations.
Meaning if the will to bestow works in favor of the will to receive, that is unsustainable because the purpose of creation and the correction of creation, the third state, exists and everything's headed toward that. Only that it advances according to the plan in due time, which is called Be'ito, or in hastening of time, which is called Achishena. But it couldn't be that the integration of the vessels of bestowal, the falling of the vessels of bestowal into the vessels of redemption will be forever, because to begin with, the purpose of creation to do good to his creatures was for all of the creature, for all of the vessels to be in equivalence of form with the Creator.
The Creator will evidently show us that Israel cannot exist in exile and will find no rest as the rest of the nations that mingle among the nations and found rest and assimilated in them until no trace was left of them. Not so is the house of Israel. This nation will find no rest among the nations until it realizes the verse, and from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, for you will demand him with all your heart and all your soul.
There was a mixture during the breaking of the vessels. There was a mixture between all the vessels. The vessels, they're called the 70 nations of the world. There are many different kinds of kelim there, of the will to receive. They also mixed, and also they all mixed with the will to bestow. But the will to receive, when it mixes with all the other desires to receive, no problem. There's no collision there. There's a difference between them nonetheless, but not that they're contradicted in nature. Both are from the same nation, and they can understand each other because they exist according to the same program of receiving, reception. And therefore, all of the desires to receive understand one another, and therefore in our world, all the nations understand one another and feel it. From within, they feel that they all belong to humanity that all in all exists in this world. Besides those in whom there is the will to bestow, the spark. The sparks, especially that they were undergoing corrections during the times when the temple still existed, that in them there are the Rishimot from Bestol, and therefore they're a completely different race. And therefore, by nature, the will to receive hates the will to bestow because it's opposite to it, and also as if necessitates the will to receive to become like it. They're in contradiction. Is there hatred on behalf of the will to bestow toward the will to receive? No. Why not? Because the will to bestow comes from the Creator in order to treat the will to receive. And therefore, on behalf of Jews, there is no hatred towards the nations of the world, but the other way around, some kind of a weakness. But the nations of the world do have hatred because they want to grab hold of that will to bestow and enslave it. By nature, existing that its existence from absence and that the other's existence from existence. So we have to look at these things as an outshoot of the higher nature. That's how it is.
What?
The spark you're talking about sounds to me as how Bnei Baruch treats the whole world, so it is also inside men.
True, this is why we have to be patient toward all those signs of hatred, of rejection, of disrespect, misunderstanding, so on, that exist toward us from the whole world and also from the Israelis that, or the Jews, that do not yet have a burning point in the heart, but as a result of the breaking, they're under the influence of the will to receive solely.
The question is, at which point, well, everything is nice, we're talking about it, we understand it, but at which point this spark throughout the process, when does it become this knowledge? When does it become a deficiency? At which point do we feel it? Eventually, we're a vessel of sensation. So when men or the people will feel that they want to bestow?
When its time will come.
Oh,
why did you come here? When? Do you have an answer? When the higher light has sorted, scrutinized a certain level of the will to receive, and you were part of that level, and you awoke, the light, the sunlight comes, and you wake up, comes darkness, you go to sleep. That's it.
So there aren't two ways here. There's only one way.
No, after a person awakens and he is brought to the group, to studying, then it says that the Creator puts man's hand on the good fate, and then he has choice. He can choose to be strengthened by the environment. There is no choice in awakening. No one's talking about that.
This can be examined by studying Providence and the verse which states about us, the Torah is true and all its words are true, and woe to us as long as we doubt its truthfulness. And we say about all the rebuke that is happening to us that it is chance and blind fate. This has but one cure, to bring the troubles back on us to such an extent that we will see that they are not coincidental, but steadfast providence intended for us in the Holy Torah.
Meaning, either we pay attention to the mission that we have to carry out, or the problems, the troubles, meaning, unless we pull the reforming light, unless we bring our vessels closer to the light, in short, unless we correct the vessels for the light to fulfill them in time, according to the plan, in due time, as much as we can, as much as possible, we are then falling behind, and there are lights and vessels standing one against the other, and in the Kli it builds emptiness up to great suffering and up to sensations worse than death. This is what we have to understand, that everything depends on the implementation of the free choice in those places, in those kelim, in that same case where choice exists. And this is also something that we have to understand, that in our life there are many situations where we're not in control, and therefore no point in getting into it. And there are such that we are. And then I have to measure the way I intervene, and the style, and for this you need money and strength and blows. By this you save. Sorry.
Today, what is the message we should come out with to the people of Israel?
As Bala Sulam writes in the rest of his writings, that to publicize, like he says, in the nation and different other writings, to publicize what is the goal of creation, how the people of Israel participate in the goal of creation, those which already went through part of the correction, how they have to show now that they correct themselves toward the rest of the world, and pull by that the rest of the world also to the same corrected form. This is their role. If they will not realize their role in time, the nations of the world will come and necessitate them to do it in a very lengthy and hard way. Yes?
Here writes that we should know that there is no blind fate or coincidental, God forbid. Is this message should be clear that there is no coincidence here?
How could there be something random in nature? Something random can happen where you don't see what you're doing, how you're operated, how the world's operated. When you don't see the situation, then it's like a child says that, I don't know, it broke. Simply happened. By chance, can such a thing happen in nature that is a law? No, simply uncertainty. So if a person at least starts with being in uncertainty and wants to acknowledge the whole complete system, time, actions, everything from top to from beginning to end, and okay, but simply to say that it's by chance or thank God and that's it, without understanding the matter and doing what we have to do in terms of correction, that's dangerous. Yes, Hanoch. Something's bugging you.
Can you elaborate on that message that we should come out with to the nation?
As the central point of the world, we first of all have to take care of our own correction. 90% of our efforts should be aimed at our own correction, which is the group and all the groups in the world that are gathered together as much as possible, and one goal, truly as one man in one heart, until the condition of the Arvut will be clear to us that this is the condition for the continuity of our spiritual development and the continuity of life in general. 10% of our efforts we should invest into or bestow onto the people of Israel to awaken in them a desire to connect. For different reasons that are revealed in them, in the meantime, different desires for cottage cheese and apartments and taxes and problems and security and health issues, as much as they feel through the different styles which they feel the deficiency, and they feel that it is impossible to really fulfill these deficiencies, that for many years we are just losing, so to speak. We're falling in these deficiencies, into these problems, and we do not ascend and do not correct. So maybe it is possible to prove to them that it can be corrected through the unification of the people of Israel. This is what we're trying to do now. Well, it's called the method of correction. It doesn't matter how we call it, but this is what it is. And let's say that this is 9% toward the people of Israel, and 1% more is toward the nations of the world, the rest of the world. Now, this percentage can change in accordance with where we will feel greater deficiency. If in the world there will be felt a greater crisis, or suddenly will come up to you 10 hurricanes together and will start ironing the whole planet, and also from within different outbursts of volcanoes start shaking it up, and tsunamis, and you know, this general washing machine, as if the world is thrown into a washing machine, then correspondingly we'll talk differently and to different audiences. But actually, according to the pyramid, coming from internality to externality, this is what you're supposed to do. But you can say, wait a second, 90% only for the world Bnei Baruch group, and 9% for the Jews, and 1% for the nations of the world? Then I'll tell you, yes. Why? How come? Where do I take it from? It's not that I feel like it or don't, but how do I find the justification for it or the direction for these relations? How do I divide them this way? Baal HaSulam says that all of the still equals one element of the vegetative, all the vegetative, one element of the animate. This is why I'm saying that this is what the proportion, the ratio should be. The ratio between things, this is how it has to be. And that's that's kind of okay. It's even more acute.
About the role of the people of Israel, I want to focus it a little bit. You mentioned the method of correction, and here Baal HaSulam says the Israeli nation will find no rest until the verse will exist in you. You shall seek thy God. How do I turn this into relevant words for people who are not religious?
As much as you can, show him again that the only way to get out of all the problems is a unity. You have no other words that you can clothe on. To aspire for the Creator in order to bestow and love another as thyself, and all these things don't do to another what you hate, and all these things, they're very far from a person. But you have problems, you can abstain yourself from it, great. You can mitigate it by unity. First of all, the shared is a sorrow half. Secondly, we don't really resist it. It's kind of in the blood of our nation. Also, there's this inclination towards kibbutz, kolchoz, all these things are Jewish inventions. Where does all that come from? As a result of some problem comes, people are ready to unite. So you have nothing else, you have no other exalted words of correction to close them in.
But this is not something unique to the people of Israel. This is something everyone understands today. So why specifically the people of Israel won't be ever saved without uniting? Other nations, they get along.
No, they don't get along. No nation. Look what's going on in Europe. You have no idea the danger of total collapse they're in. Unbelievable. I'm constantly impressed by the whole situation going on there. Look what's going on there. No, the situation is much more acute, and they're not ready to unite. Now a different law altogether is working in the world.
But they don't connect because the nation of Israel don't connect. We are to blame that they're not connecting.
Right.
So where is the uniqueness of the people of Israel? How do I explain that uniqueness and the need precisely of that nation to unite?
Only from the historical point of view. You can't introduce them with a spiritual planogram. Only from history. And you can say about anything, leave me alone, or a thousand reasons, smart or not, doesn't matter. You know, it's like in war. What's important, that I shoot for this reason or for that reason? The action, that's what defines, regardless of who started, who ended the war. All of that is, it's clear. Same here. You can say about everything, no, that's wrong, don't believe it, no. But we're talking about states where a person nonetheless has to undergo some kind of change in life, that he is under severe danger. And if we're talking about these states, then what rational idea can you bring him, the simplest, the easiest idea that he will agree with? It's history. Have nothing else. You can't put on the table and say, look, this is the law of nature. Sit down, I'll throw an apple on you. You can't tell him that unity, you can't show him that unity is the savior against Saddam or Ahmadinejad or whoever. You can't show it. He'll tell you, look, I don't believe you. Leave me alone. But when he's in pain and he has no choice and he's hanging by the thread of a hair, then he's ready to listen just a bit. Our proof is proof that is a proof on the human level, on the level of the, on the social level, on the human level. On the social level, you have no laws. In order to understand the social laws, you have to rise to the spiritual level. This is what we're learning about. This is how the groups, how everything unites. We'll learn history with the wisdom. But down to the very last detail, what happens with every country and with these 70 roots, and there are not yet the words to express it all, but how do you present it to a person? How can he understand that this is what is going on the human level, on the level of humanity, of society? We can't introduce these laws because a person doesn't see the system. In order to understand the system that's going on, all these small bugs, humans, have to ascend, rise above, and then they'll see how the system is arranged and working. Otherwise, what can you do? Otherwise, you have to tell them the historic story that it happened in the past, and look how excites them and to make it so it'll excite them to make dramas and comics and whatever about it, and then maybe to some extent you'll bring them closer. That's it. There are no other tools, there are no other ways. But at least on a daily basis, and I'd say that it's a kind of a shame to our writers, that day to day they should have been shooting powerful shots at the vast of Israel by different, you know, short articles, clips, sentences, and really to hammer them well until it penetrates more and more. This is something that is not felt. The work is unsatisfactory.
Yes, can you explain what it means 90% correcting ourselves and 10% dissemination, and vice versa, 10% dissemination and 90% correcting ourselves?
Because if we correct ourselves, so through the 9% of dissemination of the people of Israel, you reach the nation. You have to do this dissemination, 90% and 1% in the 9%, and 1% to leave for humanity. But when do you reach the 90%? When you're corrected in 90%, relatively.
You said to invest 90%. What is this investment means?
Invest your efforts, yeah, Moshe.
To continue that, I wanted to ask, this is an emotional effort. We're not talking about motion 90% of time that you mentioned.
No, I'm not talking about time. Time has nothing to do with correction. That we have to invest 90%, I'm talking about our inner efforts, about the thoughts, about the intentions. When I think about the correction in general, about 90% of it, I think how I have to be corrected together with my group. And 9% of the time, how from here we can bestow onto the people of Israel, because then we will have what to bestow. Otherwise, how are you bestowing onto them? You're throwing them dead words, empty words. You're bestowing onto them nothing. What bestowal is there? Simply, you toss them different ideas. This way, inside your effect, you'll have inner force, light, that will turn them from within, grab them. You just give them some kind of a story that it's appealing about some Batman or whoever and whatever. I'm just saying. Inside that story, you put in your force for correction. And then, from that, he feels change. He doesn't know where it came from, but the change is already working in him. This way, you flow the light, the force of the light, through the entire network. Therefore, the main correction should take place in the worldwide neighborhood group, all those that are listening to us, all those that are with us. And it doesn't matter even if we don't know about them, if they're not, if they don't identify themselves, that are simply listening to us now on television, on the internet. all of us gathered together can change the world for the better. And let's think about it.
Few announcements. Siberia uniting the world. Dear friends, we invite you to an international connection of unity and bonding, lectures with Rav Lightman, meal songs, games, workshops, plot of warmth, building a future together, Friday till Sunday, 7th to the 9th of December in Novosibirsk. Details at cup.tv. Unity event in Binyanei Uma. Next Tuesday, 6 p.m., we're all getting together for a unity event in Binyanei Uma. Now let's watch a short clip about the event.
In the coldest period, in the coldest place, the hottest and warmest people are gathering.
Seventh to the
9th of December, Siberia 2012, building a future together.
לקראת הטוב הרמוניה גלים מתמזגים על קו החוף
הרמוניה אנחנו כמו קליפים על אכסנדר